Well, it's another year gone, and a new year begins, and all of us want to know, what does the future hold? Well, today we're going to bring in astrologer to help us ask the stars what 2022 looks like. Is it going to be a year of thrills and thriving and excitement, or is it going to be another year of uncertainty, chaos? Well, we're excited to have Rose Marcus, evolutionary astrologer, to ask her expert advice of what's going to happen in 2022. I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Please welcome to the Truth Be Told studios for the first time and the last show of 2021, astrologer Rose Marcus.
Thank you so much for that introduction.
Of course. And thank you for doing this. I know it's a busy time of year for you. Everybody's wanting to know what's going to happen. And so we're excited to have you here. And thank you for being the last on the last show of 2021. So appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. It's been an amazing year, you know. And at the start of the year, I thought like, oh, God, this is going to be a grind. It's going to be a long, hard grind. And now it's over with in the blink of an eye.
It is. You know, I have to say, this year has went, 2020 and 2021 went so fast. I think sometimes, you know, it's like, you know, remember back when you were in school and you couldn't wait to get out of school, but the time just went so slow. For some reason, the isolation for a lot of people, maybe it went pretty slow, but for me, I went fast. Like 2 years is gone and I'm already feel like I'm ready for Social Security almost. Well, let me ask you this. You are an evolutionary astrologer, and a lot of people may not know what that is. So before we get started on the predictions, I'd love to hear what that is.
Well, evolutionary astrology is a specialty branch, and astrology is a huge field. There are so many different branches of astrology. It's a wonderful career to have, and you know, there's always something to learn, and it's an amazing field. Evolutionary astrology studies the chart to understand the nature of the soul, the soul's desires for its own evolution. So we look at the chart to see where you're at the moment and how we can best support your journey in terms of your own soul growth, your own personal growth, and so forth.
Well, that's
it's a wonderful study.
No, that's great. And, you know, I've had astrologers on before and I just never heard that term before. So it's great to have my first evolutionary astrologist on.
Yeah, well, it packs a punch. And most people who come into the study or come seeking an evolutionary astrologer, you know, walk away with wonderful information or, you know, with a lifelong study.
Wonderful. And so to get us prepared for the interview, how does astrology, and you know, some of us may know, some of us may not, but how does astrology predict the future? Because a lot of times astrology is looking at our past or current situation through our birth dates and all this other stuff. How does it look into the future and see kind of what's going to happen?
Well, you know, astrology is, you know, like history. You know, we look back in history to understand what cycles we went through and to see if there's any similarity to what is building in the present moment. And so astrology is like that as well, too, in terms of the predictiveness of astrology. And, you know, I mean, it does that, but you know, everything is interactive and there's no degree of separation between you and anything else in creation. Astrology is a science that is based in observation and correlation. And so, you know, the stars don't make you do anything and you are not fated in a way that is locked in. The stars show potentials, and what you do with those potentials, that's free will.
Yeah, that's the free will that whatever creator you believe in has given us.
Yeah, it's all about the choice makings of the moment, right?
Yeah. And as you were looking through the predictions, and that's what we're, you know, we're saying predictions because we don't know exactly how free will choose for a lot of people. What can people look for on changing some of these predictions that may not be what we want to hear?
Well, you know, I really do think, Tony, you know, we're so influenced by what we hear, what we read, what we see, you know, and I think that we're bombarded. I have to say we're bombarded with a lot of negativity.
Yeah.
You know, you see it through the social media, you see it on the news, you know, and I think it is really important for each and every one of us to pull away sometimes from that constant, you know, exposure to what's going on in the world. You know, I always say that if you want to contribute to the welfare of the whole, if you want to contribute to the universe, you know, then it starts with you. You know, whatever you can do to live your life the best you can live, affects the quantum field. You know, you know, I was just reading about quantum disruption. Have you heard about that?
I've heard about it. I don't know. I mean, I definitely don't know a lot about it, but I've heard about it.
Well, basically, you know, science has figured out that, you know, if they disrupt one thing, it affects everything. And I think we can do that ourselves too. You know, if I want to be a great disruptor, maybe I could look at changing my own energy field so that I move into my day with positivity. I move into my day with hope. Move into my in my day being inclusive with other people. You know, being respectful to all and so on. And this really is the way to start affecting positive change in some kind of dynamic way. You know, there are so many, oh my God, you know, my heart just breaks for, you know, the people of Kentucky or, you know, my neighborhood, you know, the atmospheric river that washed away farmlands and homes and on and on and on. I mean, you know, there is no downplaying human suffering, right? There's absolutely no downplaying
ever.
That. But, you know, that's still going to go on to a certain extent. But in my own personal private world, I can always do something to make the quality of life for myself better and for those around me.
Yeah. And I was thinking about the influence of, you know, how today's society, when it comes to social media, and it has, you know, I feel has brought a divide and also has put a lot of negativity out there because we do see a lot of it through, but it reminds me of the old school church ladies and some of the Miss Kravitz of these, you know, our hometowns where they were our social media of that time because they would start the rumors and they would, you know, it always changed by the time it got back to the original person. So, you know, it's been around since, you know, beginning of time, I'm sure, how there's always those people that are negative and it does, when you're around negative people, it does affect your own environment. So, you know, I always say try to find those people that are not going to be those, we call them Debbie Downers. So,
you know, my father always used to do that when I was a child. I would go to the store with him and he would always make the cashier laugh, you know, and I kind of picked up on that as well too. And, you know, if you go into some place and you're kind and you smile, you know, it pops that person up.
Right.
And then that person takes that to the next thing they do and on, right?
All right, so here we go. So this is what we promoted it as, a prediction of 2022. So where do we start? How do you prep? Because, you know, 2022 is here, but you have to prep for these predictions. So what do you start looking at first when you start looking for what you can predict for 2022?
Well, I look at what the major planetary influences are for the year, and we have a number of them. So 2022, I'm going to call it a high watermark year. Okay. So first of all, we are starting off, and this is the, you know, the end of the year. Just 2 days ago, Jupiter moved into the sign of Pisces, and Jupiter is a one-year transit through a sign, and moving through Pisces is a really important transit. Now, a lot of people who know a little bit of astrology know about Jupiter as being the greater benefic. So, you know, good luck comes your way, good fortune comes your way, you know, you're going to make, you know, all these wonderful things are going to happen. Jupiter is the planet of increase. And it increases wherever it goes. You know, and it is in the sign of Pisces, as you have on the screen here. So that's the fish swimming in two directions. So Jupiter in Pisces is an archetype of potential. And that's the first thing I want to say about that. And Jupiter through Pisces is the search for our ideals, our search for ultimate solutions, our search for our ultimate salvation, you know, the search for the ultimate vocation, you know, the ultimate, you know, soulmate. You know, it's got to do with all of that. And so, you know, the transit has the opportunity to bring inspiration, bring hope, bring faith. But of course, Jupiter in Pisces as well, too, you know, I have to say that collective disillusionment is huge, right? you know, so we are moving through a period of time where that mass disillusionment exists, right? You know, and as we were talking just a few moments ago, we have to find the silver linings in the day, right? You know, so as we look forward and, you know, something out of nothing, you know, I think that, you know, and Jupiter in Pisces, by the way, it opens up our ability to imagine and to dream. And it's really important for us to stay hopeful and to imagine and dream a new reality. You know, Jupiter in Pisces is really, you know, it's quite a lovely aspect for romance, and it's wonderful for everything to do with creativity, imagination, music, and movies, you know. So we should see some really wonderful things coming out of that. Jupiter is, as I said, a one-year transit through a sign, but it's moving rather fast in 2022. So between now and the middle of May, Jupiter is going to be moving through Pisces. From the middle of May to the middle of October, Jupiter will dip into the sign of Aries, and that's a completely different energy. And then from the middle of October through until the end of December, Jupiter will be back in Pisces. So we're going to have quite a spread there in the year. When we're looking at Jupiter in Aries, you know, things, there's going to be a lot more action. And of course, that puts everything on the increase. I think that if interest rates are going to go up, you know, they're likely to go up when Jupiter is in Aries. But Aries is a mobilizing archetype. Pisces rules the immune system. And while Jupiter moves through Pisces, which is a sign that corresponds to the mass experience or global activity, I think that we still are dealing with the pandemic. And I think the pandemic, I have to say, is around for most of this year and perhaps for the next 18 months. But I think that as time moves forward, we're going to get a better handle on it. We'll get it better stabilized. Jupiter in Aries, you know, mid-May to May to mid-October, is likely to give us more opportunity to get out and about and so forth. But while Jupiter is moving through Pisces, it is going to suggest that we are vulnerable and we need to protect our immune system. There's a very important transit that is happening with the Jupiter in Pisces, and that is April 12th. On April 12th, Jupiter will join, team up, conjunct planet Neptune, which is in the sign of Pisces. Now, Jupiter, wherever it goes, and you might think back 12 years, whatever was taking place for you 12 years ago, that was Jupiter moving through a particular area of your chart. It will be revisiting that area of your chart, and it starts a new 12-year cycle. I was just talking to a friend the other day who said 12 years ago was when she had her liver transplant, and that's amazing because Jupiter rules the liver, right? You know, so a whole new cycle for her. So on April 12th, Jupiter moving around the wheel one sign per year, mostly. At every 13 years, Jupiter and Neptune are going to join forces. The fact that Jupiter and Neptune are together in the sign of Pisces, which is the sign that Neptune rules, and it is Jupiter was the ancient ruler of Pisces, that's momentous. That is a transit that happens once every 167 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an amazing transit. So what that does is it puts the, you know, it's global. It puts mass consciousness. It's an attunement archetype. We're all focused on something. During one of those transits a few years ago, different sign, for example, death of Diana and death of Mother Teresa. And, you know, when Diana died, you know how the whole world was in collective grief around that, you know, like that's that kind of influence of a transit of that nature. And certainly the pandemic is making us aware that we're all in it as one, right? You know, that's that Neptune Jupiter transit. But because Jupiter is an expansion archetype and it's connected to Neptune in Pisces, which is the ocean, this is why I'm calling this maybe a high watermark year for the pandemic. I think that this is a peak year for that. Just as in my research, looking back, you know, in various other times when Jupiter and Neptune were together, pandemics were taking place, and they were, you know, cholera and yellow fever right. and so on were lasting for years, right? You know, so we are moving through a period of time where I have to say is that we're not getting back to the way things used to be. So that Jupiter and Neptune and Pisces makes us realize that we're moving through a major, major transition. And just as we're talking about with the collective consciousness and, you know, where people are at and so on, we're shifting our beliefs. You know, we're shifting the way we're relating to one another. We're shifting the way we're living on the planet.
Well, I mean, yeah, that was a lot of information, but there is a lot when it comes to, you know, Jupiter and Pisces and, you know, the Neptune in April 12th. I mean, that's a lot of information that I think people should really pay attention to, because, you know, like you said, 2022 is, I think, a pivotal year in a lot of ways, because, you know, from the pandemic, from, you know, I don't really want to get it too into the politics, but, you know, politics and then just humankind, because, you know, even people in the chat room are saying, talking about UFOs, you know, they're like, you know, predicting hopefully UFOs or in some good ways that UFOs will present themselves in 2022, and then some people think it might be a invasion of UFO. So, and even religion. And so, what's
no,
your
you know,
thoughts
and
on that?
Those are topics of Pisces. Religion, you know, again, you know, there's a truth and reconciliation. Mm-hmm. You know, that Canada is seeking from the Pope regarding, you know, the residential school, trauma.
Right.
And, you know, commercialization of space, the final frontier, that's Jupiter.
Right.
Jupiter is an exploration. It's going on an adventure. And where is the next new frontier? During times when Jupiter and Neptune were together, there was colonization all over the planet, and so we have the space thing going on as well, too. And what was the other thing I was going to mention? You mentioned three things.
Well, religion, politics, and then like the UFO or space exploration.
And, we're looking for life on other planets already. And we're looking for, is it possible to actually colonize other planets and so forth, right? So this is, a pivotal year for all of that. And I think we're going to see quite a, huge growth in these areas for sure. Mm-hmm. Another thing that Pisces rules is drugs. Mm. And we have, the opioid crises that that is so devastating to so many families, right? Hospitals are another item that Pisces rules. And with, Jupiter in Pisces, our hospitals, our medical workers, our social services, these are all programs that are going to have to look to be, reworked in some way, right? We have to put more attention there. Climate change. Climate change is here to stay. And of course, Jupiter in Aries. Aries rules things like fire and rising temperatures and so forth. And Jupiter aligned with Neptune and Jupiter moving into Aries, we have the doomsday glacier mm-hmm. and the threat of that, raising of sea level, we're going to see in 2022 more weather extremes, more wildfires, more flooding, more natural disasters like the tornadoes and earthquakes and all of that kind of stuff. We're in it for the long haul, I think, here.
So when you look at the stars and is dates and times being very specific can give you a more accurate reading
knowing about those dates and cycles, vastly mm-hmm. important. Right now we're starting the year with Venus retrograde, and it's in the sign of Capricorn.
Right.
Now Venus is generally about a 3-week transit. But because of the retrograde cycle that goes to the end of January 29, Venus will stay in the sign of Capricorn to the beginning of March. And this is a very, very important transit. Now Venus is the planet of relationships, right? I always say, the theory of relativity, and that's my relationship to me, my relationship to you, and my relationship to us. And Venus is the planet of evaluation. It's a planet of net worth and self-worth, and it also has to do with survival, right? Mm. So it's got to do with all of those things, money. Venus and Capricorn is an archetype that correlates to existing reality, and it correlates to to your relationship to external authority. It talks about career things. It talks about your consciousness and the limits of how you think or what is limiting you in your life. Venus retrograde is a reassessment, reevaluation timetable, and it's also one that dials up the unfinished business of relationships. So people often go back into, relationships that they have, ended, and they go back for another round,
right?
or people from the past come up, or even, if you're doing that through thinking and looking back, right? It's a cycle when, fated things happen, karmic, things happen, you meet with destiny in some kind of way. So this is a very, very important transit. And as we move into the month of February, it's interesting because Venus will be slow in its orbit when it finishes its retrograde at the end of January. And moving through the month of February, it's moving rather slow. And we're going to have Mars also in the sign of Capricorn in the month of February. And so for most of the month, Venus and Mars are going to toggle. And they're going to be together.
Right.
And so by the time we get to the beginning of March, Venus and Mars are going to start a new cycle, and that'll be March 6th at 0 degrees Aquarius. That 0 degrees Aquarius, you know, Mars and Venus are a 2-year cycle in terms of relationship processing, relationship dynamics. Every 2 years, you're doing a new track, you know, with that, right? And Pluto is the agent of the soul. It is the deep, profound, core, fundamental change, you know, the desires of the soul for evolution. So it's a big one. Pluto is the metamorphic process of one's evolution. So we start someplace, you know, we start with one thing,
right,
and we shape shift it into something else, right? You know, Mars is what we call the cutting edge of soul desires. You put the two of those together, Mars and Pluto are a 2-year cycle in terms of you reconnecting with your soul's deepest desires for your growth and evolution. So Pluto and Mars are going to come together and do a new cycle at the beginning of March. Venus and Pluto are going to come together at the beginning of March and do a new cycle. Mm-hmm. And then Venus and Mars are going to do a new cycle. Mars, Pluto in Capricorn, Venus, Pluto in Capricorn, Mars, Venus in Aquarius. Mm. So between now and then, we're going to be moving through quite a lot, right? You know, and
sounds
it might
like
be some hard work for people in terms of confronting your reality. You know, it is asking yourself why you're perpetuating, you know, a lifestyle, a relationship, a career that is not making you, thrive or not doing it for you in whatever way it might be. And as we work through these things, you know, it's a compelling force of evolution, I think, taking place over the next month or so, to get us up and rolling with a new consciousness and with a new ambition. So Capricorn is about ambition and it's about goals. And so while Venus is retrograde to the end of the month, it's about reassessing those goals, those priorities, the obligations, where you feel indebted, you know, the debt you might be carrying and so forth. And looking to, as things move into Aquarius, that Mars and Venus moving into Aquarius, it is to, you know, come up with some new solutions, to try some new angles, to consider a new lifestyle, you know, to consider all the changes that maybe your heart really, really wants to make, but that you didn't have the courage for yet. And I will say that Venus Mars new phase on March 6th will be triggering, you know, the work that's going to be done in 2023 and 2024 as Pluto, which is a big picture evolutionary agenda, moving into the sign of Aquarius. Pluto will move into Aquarius in March of 2023. It won't be solidly there to the end of 2024.
Right.
And it's going to stay there for 20 years.
20 years.
So, you know, radical reinvention of reality from the ground up, that's what we face. And so the sooner that you get with the program and put a little courage behind your desires, the more opportunity exists for you.
I was going to ask that because, you know, it's like buying a new car or getting a new phone or something where there's a lot of things on your phone or in your car that you didn't know existed. Like, you know, instead of putting your key in the car door and unlocking it, you're like, oh, I didn't know I could actually push this button on my key and it would unlock my door. It's like with astrology, it sounds like there's a lot of things that you can prepare for or even make big changes in your life. But if you don't know what to expect, how I mean, unless they hear this on Truth Be Told or another show about through an astrologer what to prepare for, I mean, that to me, that seems like there's millions and billions of people that might be missing out on opportunities through what the stars have to tell you.
You know, yeah, you know, when I was a child, I used to have this imagination about there being multi-dimensional universes, and now we've got metaverse, right?
Right, you know? Right.
You know, like, you know, and I always question, like, well, why is my reality this way? It could be that way instead. You know,
right,
why am
right.
I making this choice instead of that choice? You know, but, you know, in terms of that, I've said this many times, you know, for those who don't know what to do, as I say, keep doing what you're doing until there's something else to do, and then go do that. You know? So, you know, in some cases, it like, how would we ever know, Tony, that you and I were going to be sitting here on the computer talking to one another just a little while ago? You know, Facebook didn't exist a little while ago, you know, and now it's our everyday reality. So I think the one thing that the listeners need to know out there is that radical reinvention of existing reality from the ground up is here, and we're on the threshold of that. And if you will simply accept that as a reality, then you will be automatically opening up the door to possibility.
That makes perfect sense. That makes
It doesn't
perfect
it
sense.
though? Do you know? I couldn't imagine when I was younger that TV, for example, would be any way different than it
All
is.
right,
You
three channels
know?
and I remember when
Yeah.
I always tell people when I was a kid, in my hometown in Kansas, that people we actually had a party line, and they're like, "What's a party line?" It's like it's not when you got on and going, "Hey, it's party." No, it's like your neighbor and you use the same line, so you would pick it up, and the neighbor would be having a conversation with somebody else wherever, in another town, and you're like, "Oh, okay, they're busy talking," so you hang up and wait till they're finished. But now we're, each one of us has cell phones that stream and can do anything. So yeah, it
Oh
is.
yeah. Yeah. It's totally amazing, right? It's totally amazing. So we've got a lot to look forward to in the year ahead. And again, you know, put some courage and initiative forward, and do a little out of the box, you know, imagining and see where it takes you.
Do you think in 2022, because there has been, I'm hoping I'm not throwing something out there that you're not prepped for, but with a lot of private companies now, such as Elon Musk and oh, the guy from Virgin, what's his name?
Richard Branson.
Richard Branson. A lot of these private companies are now putting money into the space programs and space travel. Do you predict or do you see in the stars that that might be a wave of the future where like NASA becomes not irrelevant, but becomes less and less influential? Because we still get it's I feels like sometimes they're releasing things to stay relevant. We're
Well, yeah, I think NASA will always be NASA, and I think you know what a brilliant institution
Yeah.
that
Right.
I mean, you know, science really, you know, but I do expect that commercial space travel will grow exponentially. You know, I do, and I think you know we can expect a lot more of that. What worries me is space junk. I have to say, you know, we've done a good job of polluting the planet. Now let's go pollute space too.
Right.
Okay, you know, so that's something that I think we need to address.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
And we only have just, like I said, I can't believe again, time goes fast. We have about 7 to 10 minutes, and I just want to throw some questions out there, again, if you're comfortable with prediction of not necessarily a specific party, but politically, do you see any resolution when it comes to trying to get the politics back on track? I mean, it could be in Canada, it could be. Because that's where you're at.
Well, you know, this is very interesting because Pluto, the, you know, bigger picture evolution here, the USA is having a birthday of sorts in 2022, and perhaps listeners out there know that in 2022, Pluto has its Pluto return. And what a Pluto return is, or return planet is that when that planet again goes full circle and comes back to the position that it was at the inception of that country. So Pluto is traveling, you know, coming onto the USA Pluto. And that's a 248-year cycle. Every 248 years, when Pluto comes round to Capricorn, which is the archetype of reality, so what I say is it swings its wrecking ball on any structure, system, consciousness, or reality that has outworn its time has come. And we've been watching this over the past few years with things like the Me Too movements and, you know, the systemic racism issue and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. This is a collective consciousness that has been, that is reaching its time has come moment, or the end of the road, basically. Capricorn brings things to an end while it's bringing something else into being. And when Pluto goes to Capricorn, empires rise and fall, borders and boundaries change, you know, you know, and so forth. So, you know, the England has had several Pluto returns, and it hasn't, you know, met with its demise, but it has undergone tremendous change. And that's what we see going on in the USA. You know, it's an evolutionary imperative to make some core and fundamental change. So I do think that what happens in the USA, you know, it's a lead nation, you know, it's kind of a signature for what's happening globally anyway, right? You know, so I think that all countries are looking at, you know, the populace in relationship to the authority and how that relationship has to change in some very, very big way, right? You know, so this is an outstanding year for the USA, for the USA politics. There's enormous pressure on the government, you know, on at a financial level and at the duty and responsibility level and so on, like at all levels. And it is fascinating to this year. In any given year, and I didn't mention this a few moments ago, but another big transit that we have this year is that the karmic axis, which is the nodal axis, these are sensitive points that the moon travels along relative to the moon. The karmic axis is a 18-month cycle through a sign polarity. For the past 18 months, it's gone through the sign polarity of Gemini and Sagittarius, and it's been in dynamic tension to Neptune and Pisces, which is one of the signatures that when I took a look at that, I said the pandemic is here for another 18 months. That is the variant and the domino effect of, you know, the transmission from person to person and so on, from nature to nature to humankind and so on, right? You know, as of January 18, the nodal axis shifts to Scorpio and Taurus, and that's the south node moving through Scorpio and the north node moving through Taurus. That's the survival axis that deals with finances, the economies, and survival, you know, at all levels, including our own mortality. And of course, climate change is definitely a threat to our survival on the planet, right? You know, it's all those things. I think by the time we get through that 18-month cycle, because the lead is Taurus, it's the evolutionary forward, I think by the time we get to the end of that in 18 months, we'll be perhaps better stabilized, although I have to say that Pluto in Aquarius is still going to keep that kind of disruptive energy going for a while. So that 18-month cycle where the karmic axis is also relevant to eclipses. And in any given year, there is 4 to 6 eclipses. In the year of 2022, we will have 4 eclipses. And both of the lunar eclipses, which is May 15 and November 8, are total lunar eclipses. So the November 8 in particular is the midterm election.
I was going to say, that's the midterms.
Midterm, right? You know, so that's going to be again another statement of you know, kind of a watershed year for USA and USA politics, right? You know, so there's a lot going on in the country, right? So we will watch that. Now, in 2021, Saturn and Uranus were dominating the year. And when I said about that transit, they were in dynamic tension. I said, traveling with the brakes on, right? You know, taking a long time to bust up the past. Mm-hmm. And the future is so slowly showing up. And in the middle, we've got some thick soup. That transit is now dissipating, but it comes back in 2022 from about the end of August through about November. So it's encompassing that midterm election. So I think that there'll be just as much as you have seen with U.S. politics of the divisiveness and the volatility and, you know, all of the things that you've seen. I don't expect it to tone down for that midterm election.
Yeah, right? I don't see that either. Well, before we go, I want to ask one question from the chat room. I asked and see if anybody had a question, but didn't want to make it personal. But Easy said, did we enter the Age of Aquarius in 2012, or is that going to be later?
The Age of Aquarius is a lengthy transition process. It takes about 500 years.
Oh, is that all?
And so we haven't entered it yet, but the new cycle of Pluto starting in 2024, that's one of the harbingers of that. And at the end of 2020, we had the alignment of Jupiter and Saturn in the sign of Aquarius, 0 degrees, where that Venus-Mars position is going to be on March 6th, by the way. So interesting there. And that that Saturn-Jupiter conjunction on the winter solstice in 2020, they were talking about that being the star of Bethlehem, but, you know, right, that kind of right. thing. That started a new 240-year cycle in cultural and social development, so another era. So we have cycles within cycles within cycles. We're at the threshold of the transition now.
And what is the Age of Aquarius? What's going to occur in that particular age?
Well, you know, Aquarius, you know, again, I'll say that we're getting a taster of Pluto in the sign, moving into the sign of Aquarius. You know, it's a radical reinvention of reality, right? Mm. You know, so, you know, Aquarius rules things like technology and science. You know, it also rules like quantum physics and, you know, and brain activity. So, you know, they say that we only use a very small portion of our brain, you know, we're going to open up consciousness in vast ways. Again, it's about understanding the multidimensional universe, right? You know, and I think that, you know, there's many things to say about the sign of Aquarius. It's group consciousness, and community and all of that kind of thing. But Aquarius is the archetype of shattering of consciousness, shattering of reality. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that that is worrisome, I think, with Aquarius themes are mental illness, right? You know,
we see a lot of that.
You know, we have genius with Aquarius, and we have mental illness with Aquarius, trauma, PST. PTSD, right?
You know?
And I think that that's another, mental health is another really big, important topic that we need to address, right?
No, everywhere. Everywhere you go, it seems to be increasing more and more. Have you ever, and this is my last question, I'll let you go, but I've really appreciated you being on the show, but have you ever jumped forward to, you know, 2020, or 3025 to see if humankind will survive? Have you ever?
Well, you know, it's all about the choice makings,
right.
You know.
We're not known for making great choices.
You know, I will say that we are in peril. You know, and Greta Thunberg had a point. She was out there campaigning. You know,
right.
It is really important. You know, we can't just reduce. We have to stop.
Right.
We have to, you know, we have to move in a completely different direction if we want to. Yes, you know, we will survive in one form or another, but, you know, We've got critical times ahead, and taking climate change seriously, that's a really important thing to do.
Yeah. And like for the people out there, it's like you don't have to let's think of climate change as something that's just even if it's a natural occurrence, it's happening. So it's, you know, we just have to prepare for whatever. I always said that movie, The Day After Tomorrow. I don't know if you remember that movie. It was Jake Gyllenhaal and out of nowhere, you know, these big changes in the planetary environment where, you know, the United States became pretty much a ice age again. And we had to all move south and the people above a certain area was not going to make it. So, it seemed so far-fetched at the time, but now it's like, you know, it's, you know, the earth is fragile, you know, it's, and everything's so unpredictable. So, but
I think some of the sci-fi, stories sometimes are presaging.
Yeah, right. Well, I hope prediction says that you'll be back on our show in the 2022 at some point. I hope you would be back and maybe midway through and guide us in the next 6 months into the year, if that's okay with you.
Thank you, Tony. I'd love to be on again.
And people can go to your website and tell us what do you have. You can do readings, events, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, you can sign up to get my free monthly newsletter. That's rosemarcus.com. I teach classes and I see clients privately.
Awesome. And please support Rose. I love that name. That was my mom's maiden name. So, but please, everybody, support Rose Marcus and go to rosemarcus.com. And thank you guys for being with us in 2021. And I hope 2022, you guys will be here every Monday for Minutemen Report, every Wednesday for Truth Be Told Transformation with Bonnie Burkett, and then here every Friday, even though today's Thursday, but every Friday at 3 o'clock on Truth Be Told with myself. Have a great new year. Happy new year. Go have a great time. And let's bring in this brand new year together in spirit and in harmony. So until next week, take care, guys. This has been another episode of Truth Be Told. Thank you so much for watching. Recorded live at UBN Go Studios in Burbank, California. Join us on social media. Facebook, Truth Be Told Radio. Instagram, Truth Be Told Paranormal. Go to Truth Be Told Worldwide for more information on upcoming shows.